From Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 20 through 22. Surely there is no one on earth so righteous as to do good without ever sinning. Do not give heed to everything that people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you have yourself cursed others. From Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Wednesday night, I went out golfing with my son. He has had 13 golf lessons up to that point. He did golf camp 2 weeks last year after first grade, and then he did 3 days. And I haven't golfed in a couple years, and we go out there, get to our first spot, and I hit the ball, and my son's up at the red spots, and I'm not much of a golfer. I think it was his. They're either women's tees or kids' tees, but I didn't make it to him. And Noah said, "That's okay, Dad." And then my son hit it like Tiger Woods before Tiger Woods got interesting. And I have never been so emasculated and proud at the same moment. And I thought, you know, I've got a beautiful wife. I'm pretty good at the trumpet. You can't have everything. So this sermon, maybe, you know, I can teach and I can play the trumpet, but maybe I can't sermonize. But I have a little daughter at home, and she talks constantly. So it's rare that I get a microphone and people have to listen to me. So I'm going to read what I wrote here. So hopefully you're okay with me just reading here. Every day at supper, my wife and I ask our son Noah how his day went. We are both teachers and think in terms of our subject. I wrongly assume that my band students tell their parents what we did in class that day, and I'm guessing my wife thinks that her math students tell their parents how awesome the quadratic equation is. So, at supper, I'm expecting to hear what books Noah read, or what projects he did in math, science, or social studies, or what he did in specials that day. Maybe we'll even find out what he ate at lunch. But do you know what Noah tells us about his school day? Recess. Second graders have 3 recesses a day, and those 15 to 20 minute breaks are the most important events in my son's day. They can bring him to elation or crush his spirit. I don't know if you have seen the elementary playground during recess, but it is quite a sight to see. I have 1 window in my band room, and it faces the playground. So I get to see kids playing on the equipment and running around like puppies. The swing sets are the first equipment that get used. I also see kids climbing over the dome spiderweb thingy that looks dangerous. Kids also like to do the slides and other specialized playground equipment. There are also many games of tag and made-up games that help kids run out their energy. What my son likes to do most, though, is play Foursquare. Melinda wrote some great devotionals, which are available on the church website and on the table in the back of the sanctuary. This is an excerpt from Melinda's devotional, which explains the game. One of the benefits of Foursquare on the playground is that most children can play. The object of the game is to eliminate players in higher squares so that you can advance to the highest square yourself. A ball is bounced between players and squares until someone makes an error and is eliminated. Eliminated players leave the court. All players advance to fill the empty squares. It moves pretty quickly, with children rotating in and out, so everyone gets multiple turns. Kids with good hand-eye coordination are at an advantage, yet given time, those who are out get in, and those who are in get out. It's a reminder to all of us that given time, we are going to get it wrong. We will make errors. We will choose the wrong thing, And like Foursquare, it doesn't take much time. So if you dug that, they're back there, yellow thingies that you can do the devotionals during the summer. My son had some issues 2 school years ago when he was in first grade, and some of the second graders were picking on the younger kids during Foursquare. My heart was broken last year when I saw my son devastated by how older kids were treating him. My inner Papa Bear came out, and I wanted to go out on the playground and protect my son. Luckily, my wife reminded me that beating up an 8-year-old was a good way to go to jail and lose my teaching license. I'm not making that up yet. What my wife and I did to help our son was to tell Noah to not play with the kids who are treating him poorly and to play with the kids that make him feel good. We told him to tell the kids to stop treating him badly. We also brought up our concerns with his teacher, and the first and second grade teams came up with a plan to reduce the Foursquare issues. I think my son got a reputation as a kid who would stand up for himself and tell the adults at school when kids were being mean to him. The consequence for being mean to others at Tipton Elementary is staying in during recess. Noah actually had one of his older bullies tell him that he wasn't going to pick on Noah anymore because he didn't want to lose his recess. I think they became pretty good friends somehow after that, which really surprised me. I picked the Bible verses that Pat read today because they were my favorite verses on my Google search of sticks and stones in the Bible. And I have here in my hand my great-grandfather Carl Gustav Johnson's sermons from 1945 to 1952. He was a Baptist minister who moved to the U.S. from Sweden when he was just a little boy at the turn of the 20th century. I don't think great-grandpa Johnson had the luxury of the internet to help with sermon preparation. So he was a sermon more than 6 years, but if you wanted to check out his notes, it's with a typewriter in this ancient language called cursive that you can kind of check out. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21 through 22, is essential for my mental well-being as a middle school band director. It says, "Do not give heed to everything that people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself cursed others." My middle school choir director colleague is a first-year teacher, and he talks with his students a lot more than I do. His students freely share their opinions during class on his music selection, the lyrics, and why they can't sing the melody. So that would be altos, who never get the melody and are always sad about that. My colleague would get frustrated sometimes by what his students were saying, and other times he would just brush off what they said. When I was a younger band director, I too had students complain during class about my music selection or rehearsal methods. After 13 years of teaching band, I now know that students have an opinion, but I really don't want to know what that opinion is. It's not that I don't care about my students or that I don't want them to have a voice in my class. I would just rather have kids bring their concerns up to me privately after class so that I can listen and address them without distractions. I've learned that adolescents don't really know how to utilize or understand constructive criticism, and sometimes kids just want to get a rise out of their peers when they talk in class. I am better able to address my students' concerns and have an actual dialogue with students after class. I have a luxury that other teachers don't have. It is really hard to critique or say mean things with a mouthpiece in your mouth. My son and colleague don't get that same advantage in their respective situations. There have definitely been times in my life when students' parents have said things that hurt my feelings and made me feel bad about myself as a human being and educator. I've had friends, colleagues, and strangers also say hurtful things to me. I know I have said hurtful things to people before too, and I'm not sure why. I really believe in Sigmund Freud's philosophy on the id, which is defined as the personality component made up of unconscious psychic energy that works to satisfy basic urges, needs, and desires. When my children hit each other or say mean things, they do not have a good reason why they did it. Lily's response to most questions after she did something naughty is saying, "I don't know," while she is crying. I'm not sure why kids are mean to each other on the playground. I'm not sure why adults are mean to each other. I don't know why people say hurtful things to each other, but I do know that words hurt. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who live it will eat its fruits. We can assume that this means you get what you deserve, but we all know that doesn't always work out. Cheaters and liars don't always get caught, and there isn't always a consequence for every action. The Bible acknowledges that we are all sinners and that it is through Jesus that our sins are forgiven. Jesus' gift of grace is the most compelling reason to be a Christian, and I also find it to be the most baffling. I know that people say judgment will be given after life, but sometimes I want immediate consequences. I am confounded that Christians trace their lineage to Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was tortured and killed for his beliefs and preachings. The Old Testament is full of stories and mighty heroes like David, who killed their enemies with strength and guile. Why didn't Jesus use his magic powers to defend himself? Why did he let himself get nailed to the cross? My favorite movies are action movies where characters defeat the bad guys and win. Captain America is tall, strong, and awesome. He is handsome and has superpowers. He doesn't lose. I want my Lord to be like Captain America. Christians don't worship a Marvel superhero, though. We worship Jesus, whose greatest accomplishment was dying so that our sins may be forgiven and that we have life after death. Is this weird to anyone else? America is a mighty nation. We have the most people in our military. We have the best weapons and the biggest bombs. We are awesome. Americans like power and strength. Jesus washed people's feet, and prayed. His miracles were feeding people at a wedding and bringing the dead to life. Would you pay $12.50 to go to a movie about a guy who spent his days praying? Or do you want to watch Captain America destroy armies with his awesomeness? On a side note, we saw Wonder Woman last night, and it was a fabulous movie. I find it hard a lot to be like Jesus, who taught us to love our neighbor. Sometimes I want to throw a rock at the Goliaths of the world and eliminate them so that they can't hurt my family. Sometimes I let people get me down with their words. I am a sinner, and I make mistakes, and I know others struggle with sin too. I don't understand why Jesus had to suffer and die so that my sins can be forgiven. I know that I need to treat other people well and forgive them, but it's hard. Luckily, God's grace is good, and he will support me when I mess up. I know it's hard, but when people say mean stuff on the playground of life, we need to be like Jesus and forgive them and not act like Captain America and beat the snot out of them. Although that would make a more exciting story. Thank you.